Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Lucid Libertarian Lorianne, and I decided to start the show as I wait for word from Joe.
All right, let's see if this works better, because I was getting some feedback here. So hello, everybody. Welcome to the Joe from Montana show. I see that we have callers that are in the queue, and so I am waiting to hear back to see if Joe is around. I have texted him to see if he's going to be joining us sometime soon. So hopefully, I told him via text that he'll have to call in using the guest line because, you know, there can only be one host that starts the show. And so since I just started the show on my end, he will have to call in using the guest number. So if you do want to call in, 646-478-5284. And I do see Sally raising her hand. I do see 954 that is currently muted and waiting. And there's also a Skype caller that is also muted. And if you want to talk, then go ahead and press 1 on your keypad. And that lets me know that you want to be brought into the conversation. And hopefully we will get word from Joe, or I can, or see him pop up in the queue here. Maybe he's having technical difficulties with one of his many phone numbers or his app or something. So with that, I guess we'll just kind of hang out and wait and see if he shows up, but I'm going to go ahead and unmute Sally, because I see that she is raising her hand.
Hey there. Well, I sure hope Joe gets there. Now, the 954 number you see in there, I don't know if that's Dr. Tolbert. I don't know if he's pressed 1 or not, but I asked him to come because I want him to really talk to Joe about, does God really exist? So, and He has an awful lot to say. So if you want, obviously it'd be better for Joe to be here to listen to some of it. He can tell you, give him his background while maybe we're waiting, because Dr. Tolbert can tell you a lot about God. I've had him on my show many, many times. It's excellent information.
Oh, very nice.
He's got a book out there. So, you know, you might want to go ahead and just, if you know, while we're waiting for Joe until he gets here, and because I specifically invited Dr. Tolbert, said, if you can, call into this show. Tonight would be a perfect night because we're going to talk about if God really exists. And just for those, obviously I believe in God. Everything to do with this country was founded on a God, a creator, from the Declaration. And then Dr. Tolbert can give you all the stuff about when you think of all the different ways God is in our Constitution. And the very foundation where God plays a role in here in this country. And so we are one nation under God, in God we trust. And it comes down to a very basic, that there is a supreme being to us. And, you know, what I had planned on telling Joe, and I'll repeat some of it if he gets on, there's like, it's not like God's going to come ring the doorbell and give you his ID and say, here I am. I mean, that's not quite what it is. And I think when you think about what happened with George Washington and the revolution, the Christmas miracle, and the fact that, he had horses shot out from under him. His jackets had bullet holes, and he still lived. I mean, and he was a very religious person. He was praying all the time, and he was saying that, you know, God, without God, we won't survive kind of thing. He was very, very religious. And I think it all comes together, and I think that's part of the reason why we have this very, very rich land that we live on that has can provide us what we need if we do the right things and if we treat people correctly and these kind of things. So, and it was Reagan who said, when we cease to be one nation under God, we will be a nation gone under. Because without some kind of a faith and belief in God and some values, if you will, people will go around shooting each other and it'll be okay. Go around robbing each other and causing harm to each other, it'll be okay. All the other stuff will be okay if you don't truly believe in some supreme being with the guidance of a supreme being from above. And I know Dr. Tolbert can be so much more biblical on this, and especially on the Constitution. He can cover it so much. So I would encourage you to let him get started. If there's any, you know, that's a high level where I'm coming from, but, you know, many of us have asked the questions like, well, if God is so good and kind, and why do so many bad things happen? Well, look what I've said it many times before. Why would God bless the United States of America today with the way we have behaved, with the things that we do? Why would God still bless America? Does God still bless America? I think God did at one time when we were a decent people. And too many people are not there. It's been a total change in the culture in the past few years. And if we don't restore some core beliefs and decency and faith, then why would he bless us? And so I'll kind of leave it there until either Joe joins, but I would definitely encourage you to get Dr. Tolbert going. He's got a lot to say.
Very good. Yes, I'm glad that you introduced him. That's why he is raising his hand right now. But I wanted to let you introduce him since I'm not familiar with him. And so I'm going to go ahead and bring Dr. Tolbert on. And hopefully he's coming on here. Welcome.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you great. Thanks for calling in and thanks for accepting Sally's invite.
Yeah, Sally and I go back many years, and I want to give you a background, what it means to have preparation meeting opportunity, and the opportunity is where God puts you. I was 13 years old, and God gave me the scripture, Isaiah 42, 1 through 4, and in that scripture is, whatever I say, it will be quiet. The winds will blow, but no one will hear you. But there's a day when you will be discovered and everything that you do will lead all the nations. Now, he gets into more details than that, but the summation. So what's the summation of one's life? When one is born by a mother that had four children before she was 16, that two of the children committed suicide, one physically died, and the only son had a choice between joining the army and going to jail. Spent 22 years in the military, became a Vietnam veteran, a retired sergeant major in the United States Army, went on to become a motivational speaker, ran a multi-million dollar airplane company. At the age of 1999, God said, I called. You answered the door. And he answered the door of God's calling. Now, here you have a high school dropout that got his bachelor's degree to be a sergeant major in 1980 from University of Maryland. And God said, I'm sending you to school. So the man goes on and gets a master's degree in theology. He gets a master's degree in education. He gets a doctorate degree from Nova University. And this year he receives a PhD in philosophy. This man writes two books, Systematic Theology Through the Spiritual Eye, Walking Your Vision, the academies in 45 countries, formulation of teaching on how preparation meets opportunity. So here I am now, a dropout, a doctor, ran for the Senate, ran for the president, ran for the governors of the state of Florida. And now I'm teaching, and direct cannot make you born again. Only God can open that door. And we look at Moses, and Moses was refusing, and Moses was rejected, and Moses came from the water, and he traveled at the age of 40, and he spent 40 years in the desert not doing nothing. And one day he was called, and he walks up to the mountain, and the bush catches fire, and the fire turns to Moses, and Moses says, "Who are you?" And God says, "I am who I am." Many people want to put a name on God. They want to call him whatever they want to call him, but his name is I Am. And Moses answers, and Moses then travels back to the place where he started, and he spends time when he rejected the people, all rejected God, and they were supposed to do in 14 days what it took them 40 years to do because of the rejection. And everybody under 40 went on to a new beginning, and those under 40 didn't go anywhere because they didn't follow God's word. So when Sally talks about God's word in preparation meeting opportunity, the question is, and what's being asked, who's God? Is God real? Why is God here? Well, preparation meeting opportunity, I had a $261,000 student loan. And I fulfilled it under my 501c3, January. I became loan forgiven. I'm a veteran. January 1923, I become 100% disabled veteran. I'm an educator, systematic theology through the spiritual eye. March, I get a PhD in philosophy. Why? Because I'm a believer. I believe that my actions display whether or not God exists. If I take no actions, I'll be evil. Well, what is evil? Well, in the book of Revelations, it says 666, the sign of man. Demons. Well, the demons are you. They're me. They're everybody that rejects God. That's a demon. But the person that believes, who's that person? That person is the one that will change the nations, that they will come back. Schools will start. We wrote articles on Common Core. It got passed. We wrote Roe versus Wade. It's in our book. 2 weeks after my book's published, what happens? Congress, the Senate, the Supreme Court, they all come to an agreement. It belongs to the state. We looked at Maine. They couldn't get paid because they weren't a public school system. It's in our book, Common Core. We wrote it. We talk about it. We get into Sharia law. We get into the Torah. We get into the Constitution versus the biblical facts. Well, who wrote the Constitution? Do you know the majority were Masons? And yet here they are as not true believers as I do, but they wrote the Constitution. What should we follow? We follow the Bible first, and then we follow the Constitution. Why do I say that? Well, the Constitution is the Bible. People don't understand when they read the seven articles of the Constitution and they read the 28th Amendments, they're going to find that they're in disagreement. They don't understand the Bible, so they can't put it together. How many people read and understand? I cannot baptize you in water. I cannot bring you to God. In 1999, I was standing in a room. I owned a multi-million-dollar company, and God said, "I called. You now will lead by the directions I give you." He put me in a car. I lived on the street, and yet here we are today, a writer of 2 books, known in 45 countries, putting together restaurants, hotels, and schools. How did that happen? How does God do it? Because I believe in God. God called, and I answered. How many of you have been called by God to close your eyes, close your ears, turn your head, walk away? I even wrote that the first day I was called. I wrote, I refused to answer the phone. I refused to open the door. I refused to listen. I hid under the bed, and I hid from God. And God said, "I'm calling you. I'm calling you." And finally, I opened my eyes and I opened my heart and I became born again, and God called and God said, "Follow my direction and lead the nations." And somebody says, "Well, how long does it take to lead the nation?" It takes one person changing one thing and the nations will change directions. Currently in Pakistan, they have the lowest amount of Christianity. They're mostly Muslims. But we have over 500 pastors that we're working with in Pakistan. In Africa, 54 countries. We're with 30 countries in Africa leading the nations that are opening and changing their directions. What is education? Is education strictly the reading of a book? Is it strictly the math, the English, the history? No, it's on-the-job training. We're not doing it. Our goal is to formulate a hybrid school system, systematic theology through the spiritual eye, walking your vision, university and academy. You go to www.calltoduty.org and find out what it means to read the Constitution. What does it mean, the rights of a man over a woman? What does it mean of equality? What does it mean that we lead the nations? We, the United States of America, are founded and put together by God, that landed, the pastors, the people that were Christians, that formulated the United States of America and planted the seed. What is a seed? A seed is you planted in the ground. Your education becomes the water. Your fertilization becomes your knowledge. Your teaching becomes the tree. And from the tree becomes the seeds. That is other people learning and coming from you. Yep. I'm born again. God exists.
Very nicely put. Not to interrupt, but I'm going to go ahead. Joe Gibson has had his hand raised in the queue. And so I'm going to go ahead and bring Joe Gibson on into the conversation. There are a couple others that are hanging out muting, so just press 1 if you want to join the conversation. All right, so now we should have Joe on. Hey, Joe. And thank you, Dr. Talbot, for coming on as well. I think that you stated your story and your history and your take on God and our Constitution and how they're tied together. And I know Joe has been making some comments in the chat. We wanted to give him a chance to respond as well. So welcome on.
Oh, thank you. For starters, the comment that the Founding Fathers were Freemasons. Dr. Phil Grady published a book, How Satan Destroyed America. I actually questioned him once during a seminar about that same question, because I used to believe that the founders were Freemasons. And in fact, George, he showed me a letter that he got out of the Library of Congress, one of them actually, but there's several in there, because you have to pay for that. And he actually put that in one of his books. George Washington actually detested the Freemasons and actually openly stated in a letter that he never visited any Masonic lodge, and nor does he ever want to partake in their rituals or fantastic, whatever, I forgot exactly the word for word, but he denounced Freemasonry, and so did John Quincy Adams. So those are letters that I read. As far as the other founders go, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure they did not. I think this is a rumor that's to destroy our foundations and to smear our founders, just like George Washington had wooden teeth and all that other stuff. You know, it's just to belittle our foundations, I think. So I disagree with that aspect of what you opened up with, sir.
I'm only stating that the majority, not all individuals, and I think if you go online and pull it up, you'll get the name of every individual. I am not in agreement with what the Masons say or do, nor I'm going to be in disagreement. I'm only giving you the factual information. I understand a contradiction of what many people say. Mine's based on my education, and someone else would educate because there's contradictions and pros and cons. By theology and by everybody, whatever we say, we'll find somebody with a different point, sir.
Yeah, oh yeah, but there's only one truth. There's a positive and there's a negative. It's not all we all believe, and it's what you believe is okay what you believe. There's only one fact, and it's not we're all – truth is not relative. So that wasn't a teaching. I said there was actual letters handwritten by George Washington and John Quincy Adams that denounced Freemasonry. So that would pretty much outline it to be fact if it was in their handwriting. I wouldn't write a letter denouncing something and then say, and then 10 years later, saying, I'm a member. You know what I mean? So that's just what I just wanted to present as a fact. That's all.
I agree.
And you made one other comment. I'm not here to pick you apart or criticize you. I'm just trying to, you know, you're a theology major, obviously. I'm a theology student myself, Frontline Bible Institute, Stamford, Connecticut, from Dr. Vince Massa. I also studied under Dr. Ruckman, Peter Ruckman from Pensacola, Florida. I don't know if you ever heard of him or not. But demons, I don't think we're all demons. Jesus, when he went, you know, addressed demons, casting out demons, I don't think he was saying for any of us to cast ourselves out. I think we know what the demons are. They're the fallen angels that were cast out of heaven. Those are the demons that are here roaming around earth that are or chained up, bound up, like in Euphrates River, the Book of Revelations, the two demons that are bound up there. And now they're starting to say they hear voices and moans and groans because the Euphrates River is drying up, actually, which is quite remarkable. So I just wanted to maybe make that comment also about the demon comment that you made. You know, we just got to be careful about our doctrine, you know. It's always important to rightly divide the word and to apply it, you know, historically, doctrinally, and inspirationally. And if we don't do that, we can get carried away. It's like these many different versions of the Bible out there. Well, I like the American version, the standard version, the NIV, because it reads better. It's easier to read. No. The NIV casts Jesus out of heaven and into hell. You know, so there's verses omitted out of there so many times. I mean, the Trinity is taken away in the American Standard Version. And so in the Living Translation, there's only one translation that has been proven without a doubt, which is the seventh translation, as foretold in the Book of Psalms. Try his word purified seven times. Is the 1611 King James Bible. That is the only, that's the final English translation that was foretold by God. Do you agree with that?
I use Farrell Fitton's Bible, who spent 50 years writing and put it together, and I took my books in theology, and I contradicted a lot of theologians and the miswriting of the Bible by many. And, of course, when we go to the Book of Revelations, it'll give you the word 666 and say it's a sign of man, and it'll list it as demons. So we're going to find that many people study and make comments that are contradictive or agreement. And I'm not going to go with contradiction and agreement. I go with the knowledge that you present me, and I appreciate it because it's always good to be a student.
Sure. I agree with that. It's always great to be a student. All I was saying is that we got to be careful with how, you know, especially today's day and age with all the false doctrine out there and what's going on with the new world order that's approaching and, what's your opinion on the New World Order? Can you think that we can have a spiritual awakening or an awakening? Do you see it out there in the people can we restore the republic? Because I debate many pastors, not really debate them, but have heated conversations where they tell me, look, the republic's never going to be restored, Joe. Knock it off. The only thing you have to do is go out and win souls. That's the only thing you're supposed to be doing right now. And, you know, I go back and forth with them. And what's your opinion on that?
First and foremost, let's give our intellectual comments, not opinions, and let's go with the fact that political parties are a breakdown of the two political parties versus no party affiliations. So I want to leave that there because of my position of the violation of the Constitution. Secondly, is that pastors should not be getting involved in the political organizations, and even though I run as an apostleship, and I am in teaching and leading a lot of nations, and that I've been a pastor, there's a contradiction with a lot of the pastors not recognizing their responsibility of teaching the biblical power, and they're instead going in an opposite direction. I believe that we have to talk about how do we recycle our education first that we've destroyed. How do we get rid of food stamps and bring the ministries back in taken care of as what it did at the beginning? How we need to get the federal government out of the states? How we even have a violation of the Constitution? So DeSantis is running for president, whereas in the state of Florida, he's not allowed to because he's governor, and he's writing an article to the Senate saying that they're going to bypass the article that a person as governor can run for president. So our political parties, Republicans and Democrats, have totally done under the table. We've written articles to the federal government of the two, any corporation, your political party is a corporation, as is calledtoduty.org. We're not only a 501c4, but we're also a 501c3. So we fall under both categories. And we see that the breach of contract of the Constitution says that if an individual owns a corporation and he's working with another corporation, they are not allowed to do anything without exposing it to the public. And our political parties are not exposing anything to the public. And we can go back into the arguments of the constitutional rights of the amendments. We can go into the fact that no lawyer is allowed to be in our federal government. And there was a breach of contract under the amendments of the Constitution that removed the lawyers and said it couldn't be there. And they didn't actually follow the Constitution. They smeared it. So now you have an entire group of individuals that are in your federal government that are not allowed by Constitution. So we can get into the knowledge that we have. We can get into arguments, but it's a matter of what do you think? What is your knowledge? Not what do you think. What's your knowledge?
Well, I just it's just a matter of figure of speech, what I said when I say a matter of opinion. I like to speak fact. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. But the fact of the matter is, then, if you want to speak fact and knowledge, is that there's two constitutions in play here. You have the organic constitution, and we have the corporate de facto government, Washington, D.C., right now, which was that usurped us after the Civil War during the Reconstruction Acts. And then they completed that task by taking robbing our currency with the federal passage of the Federal Reserve Act. So really they're not in violation really, because we don't have a constitution. We're 14th Amendment slaves. That's basically how what I've gotten from my studies for studying the Republic and the restoration of the Republic, being a part of the Restore America plan over the years, the Republic, and so how do we restore our constitution and the people? You said pastors shouldn't be involved with politics. The church was during the founding of this country was, obviously involved with the politic, and God was mentioned four times in the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and the Ten Commandments were in every courthouse across the country. So everyone says church and state, separation of church and state, but really it was the powers to be was for the government not to be involved with the church, not the church not to be involved with the government. You understand what I'm saying? They meant.
Absolutely. Yeah, and under Systematic Theology for the Spiritual Eye, Volume 2 is 600 pages, and everything you just spoke about is in the books that I just wrote. So I'm not going against the issue is, should a pastor pick a political party? Should a pastor stand up for a Republican or a Democrat? Or should the pastor teach the Constitution and its interrelationship to the Bible? Now, there's two different sides of the story. Mine is that as a person that is a teacher, he should not be selecting his opinion of a political party. He should be selecting the constitutionality of the Bible. The Bible has power over the Constitution in America. God himself says that. I come first and that comes second. So we can get into the theological mind. Now, when you said you have degrees, when I read and did my master's degree in theology, which was Logos University in Jacksonville in 2007, I read 15, 20 different books of theologians, and I totally disagreed with the theologians because they don't believe in the Trinity. So where do we stand with Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Why did Christ come upon the earth? Why is there a new beginning? When did we become, and why did we become born again? Why is America going through pain and suffering? Well, Sally covered that when she opened the show. It was the simple fact that the destruction is that people aren't standing up for God. They aren't standing up for, we are a Christian nation. This is not a political motivation. This is a fact of an apostleship. An apostleship is one that leads the nations. Now there's arguments here we can get into that there were 12 apostles, but they're going to forget about Paul, who becomes the 14th apostle, who writes 80-90% of the New Testament. We're going to get in or forget the fact there were 77 apostles. There were 144 apostles. We're going to forget the fact that the leaders of the countries and the people that happened in the times of Jesus before the apostleship, the leaders, the messengers. So we can talk about how God does not exist. And the comments that I received, from Sally is the discussion, God is not here and God is not doing this and God is not doing that. Well, God is doing it. God planted that tree out beside your yard. God told you how to water that tree. God planted the seeds, the creation, millions and millions of years that Adam and Eve existed before the creation of what you see today. The 7 days weren't 7 days. They were millions of years. But yet people want to give you an argument about something else. We need to turn our nation back to God. If we don't, we'll lose the United States of America. Absolutely. So who turns the states back to God? Who turns our country? You do. Every listener tonight turns the nation. Not me. I'm only one. But everybody that's here tonight, every listener tonight, you are the one that restructures the United States of America. People that are running for office that cannot quote you the Constitution, that cannot quote you the biblical interaction, that won't raise their hands to God, don't vote for those individuals. I don't care what you think. Go ahead.
I agree. I agree 100%. And that's the cold-hearted fact of it. That it's up to we, the people, to address the problems that we face today. But I'll yield and let somebody else speak if you don't mind.
Yeah, well, this is Sally. I'll chime in real quick. I don't know if there's anybody else waiting to speak, but I'll chime in real quick. When you go back, I mean, right now, here they're taking God out of the schools and everything else. Most of these people don't know it was Congress that passed or approved the teaching of the Bible and the printing. They didn't print the Bible, but they approved the printing. There's the history of the Bible and God in this country has been there forever. And, you know, the question with Joe wanting to say, how can you prove God really exists? God's not going to come knock on the door and show you an ID. There's much more to it than that. But the thing that gets me the most, time and time again, I think we see this, is that the church played such a key role. You think of what has happened to our churches. They became businesses instead of spiritual houses. Instead of helping the community, now we've got welfare and all these other things, and the things that the church was to do. And then when they got some kind of a tax-free status and all this other stuff, all of a sudden the churches became scared to do anything. Their whole role has changed. The church has abandoned. I think a big part of the fall of this country is because of the fall of the churches and what has happened through a total lack of any type of spiritual guidance and strong beliefs and type thing. It's just disgusting to me what I see the churches. I go to a church and they look like they're having a grand opening and it's a sale and it's a store. It's a retail outlet versus a place of spiritual guidance. I find it really disgusting to me. And I think that's a big part of the problem. So many times people have said it in the past, and as time goes on, I believe it more and more. What really happened when they took God out of schools? How did that happen? Because we allowed some people to come in. We said freedom of religion. Okay, freedom of religion. So I have the right to be an atheist. I have a right to not believe in God. And so one person didn't believe in God, just like these couple of transgenders floating around out there. All of a sudden, they take total control of the morality and the culture of the country. And something isn't right there. It's totally what was it when they pulled the Bible and prayer out of schools? What was it? How many people complained? It wasn't like there was all this sudden change of the culture that the country is now an atheist country, because that wasn't the case. But one or two complained, so they took it away from everybody. It's all part of the process. It's all part of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals and the Claude Piven stuff, and it's all how you take a culture down. How to take a country down is you take the culture, you take their values, and how do you do that? You take down the church. It's one thing leads to another. And if we don't find some type of religious God, spiritual guidance again, I don't think we can survive either.
Well, there's nothing religious. Religious, everyone says that word, religious, religious. There's nothing religious about what I believe in, you know, the religious institutions. I'm not no part of any of those religious institutions. So, but
what they
I
used
believe,
to do versus what they do today, yeah.
Yeah, Well, what I believe what we have to do is we already know what the problems are, and we can talk about the problems until we're blue in the face and complain about them. We have to come up with solutions. That's the key. The solutions are lawfully and peacefully the best way we know how, and we can't do anything without putting God first, of course. So, but we live in a backbiting, God-rejecting, Bible-hating country right now. And, you know, look, 3% founded this country, so I believe we got 3% out there still that can take this country back. It's just going to take a lot of sacrifice, a lot of motivation, and start doing, and a lot less talking.
Joe, I'd like to do something. My email is cfabamerica@gmail.com. I would like to send you two copies, or my copies of Volume 1 and Volume 2, and everything you've discussed tonight you'll be able to find in the books that I've written. You can also go to calltoduty.org, which is my website, which you go into systematic theology. You can order the books, or I'll send them to you free. I sent them to Sally. I'm into a lot of things, and everything you've covered tonight, I totally agree with. There's no disagreement. People give different way of voicing what they know, and it's not a contradiction, but it's a different of usage of word. I'm not using the word opinion. Because opinion and knowledge are different, and I totally agree. Religion is something we have to get away from. We have to use and reformat. We're a trinity. We're a hybrid school system. We're teaching different than people. We are PDF filing in 45 countries right now. In the United States of America, there are no followers on what we're doing. Now, go think about that. There's 195 countries plus territories. We're in 45 countries, but we have no followers in America. We have people that are truck drivers that are now working with us. They're leaving for the Philippines. We have people from Trinidad that are in America as ministries working with the prisoners. They're going to other countries. We're finding that a country that was 90%+ believers in God have disintegrated down under 40% currently in the United States, where Pakistan was 1-2% is now moving up to 10%. We are losing because we're not giving the knowledge in our schools. So when anybody talks tonight, let's go in fact, the education in our school systems needs to get away from the federal government, the state schools, the public schools, and our ministries need to formulate schools. They need to formulate the elementary schools. They need to formulate colleges and universities. They need to get back to where we were at the beginning of the time when our schools were within the Christian ministries. The believers in God formulated this countries. The believers of God put us where we're at today. And the argumentative of the destruction of the United States of America is not political. It is strictly a believer has turned their face away from God. As we saw in the old days, when the earth opened, the tribe was completely sucked into the ground because they turned against God. When somebody was supposed to travel in 14 days and 40 years, they disbelieved in God. Throughout the Bible, we find arguments of Job and how he went against and his wife went against and how he lost his family and how he had to turn around and say, I believe, and he then received because he changed his belief from non-belief that I believe. We walked Jonah as he was allegedly put into the water and swallowed by a big fish. And the book of Feral Fitton will tell you the big fish was the name of a boat. He was put in the belly of a boat, and he was then transvested or discharged as he disembarked. There's going to be a lot of people. They're going to have different standards and different things. But Job went against God. Jonah went against God. Throughout the Bible, we find that everybody that went against God ended up in a bad situation. America is a bad situation because they are not following the rules of the Bible. They are not following the rules of knowledge God gave them, and they need to change their position and become born again. Born again is God opens the door of your stomach. God makes you born again, not me. Water baptism doesn't make you born again. But when God calls you and say, I am calling you, as he did me in 1999, he said, you're going to open the door to me and you're going to follow. So now here we are. We not only followed God, we got two master's degrees, a doctor of education. We got a PhD. We now have our books in the 45 countries because I allowed God to make me born again. I agreed with God and say, I am now your follower. I will do what you tell me, not what I want to do, but I will do what you tell me to do. Go ahead, Joe.
1999, that's the same year I actually started believing and received Jesus Christ as Lord
Amen.
And Savior and my life over. 1999, yep.
Yeah, it's not a coincidence when God uses a number of 99, the day of completion, and puts you in a position of, here you have a dyslexic ADD high school dropout with a master's in AIU, a doctor at Nova Universities, a master's at Logos University, a PhD at Adrian University, AIDAN University, and you have all these things going on of $300,000 that are totally forgiven because God says you're going to go to school and I'll take care of the payments. And in 2023, God said it's done. You no longer owe any money for your student loans.
And let me ask you a quick question, both of you, on that, the history. The Supreme Court. Now, didn't we initially say you had to believe in God to be on the Supreme Court, and then they changed that somewhere along the way, too? And everything when it comes to being a member of Congress, whether it be the Senate or the House or whatever, House of Representatives, at one point, how can you possibly take an oath to uphold this Constitution if you don't believe in God, yet we've gone ahead and allowed that to be totally up as well, or what do you want to call it, disintegrated?
Well, the argument's going to be real quick is that the majority of the people that are interrelated, to include Obama, that goes back into one of the kings of England, and we can tie it back into the Masons, whether people want to or not, that the majority of our presidents actually laid their hand on the Masons' Bible and not the American Bible or not the King James Bible or not the New Version or any other one. So we're finding that we have led our nation into the wrong direction because we have, as American people, did not challenge who was running for the office and the purpose behind the leader of our nation. And so we've selected and we allowed Sawyers to put people with multi-millions of dollars, and Sawyers should be removed from the United States. He should be evicted. He's not allowed even in his own country. We are going back into the they want to add more people to the Supreme Court, and Supreme Courts have to be lawyers, and yet I'm eligible to be on the Supreme Court according to the Constitution, but they're non-selective because they're choosing, and they're allowing the President of the United States to make a person eligible to be on the Supreme Court. It takes the Congress, the Senate, and the House of Representatives to make the selections and to agreement. So people don't know the Constitution. They're not taught by the Constitution. They don't know the Supreme Court, Sally. You and I would be better on the Supreme Court, and so would Joe,
yeah,
than the individuals that are currently on the Supreme Court.
Amen. I agree with that. Most people think you have to be a lawyer to be on the Supreme Court, and it's like, no, and that's really the total falsehood. We need people who actually know the Constitution and believe in it and believe in God. When you take those factors away, and you look at what's on that Supreme Court, and what do you expect on so many of these crazy rulings that we get? It's so so despicable. It really is. We've allowed the enemies from within to take over, and we talk a lot about that we need a solution, and if we don't get back to some core foundation of beliefs, then I don't know how do you bring these people together when they're out there willing to kill and steal from each other and do everything else to each other? How do you become united if that's the society you're out there promoting, which is so much of what has happened with the Black Lives Matters and Tifa and the Marxist communists that are taking over? They said, how can we destroy the United States of America? We have to go after their heart and soul, which is to destroy the core beliefs and the core values. And look what they've done, and look where we are, and how many people are scared to say a prayer in public. Look at the harassment people get for praying in public. They want the drag queens and all the other insanity and this perversion. It's just it's so disgusting. Yet how many people are just sitting there watching it and not showing any outrage about any of it? And it's like, well, united we stand, divided we fall. And I fear that we are way, way too divided. But I'm definitely with Joe. It was only an irate minority that got everything going to begin with. And if you follow the rule of the 80-10-10 thing where it's 10% of the people are leaders, 80% of the people are followers, and then 10% of the people just sit there while the building burns down kind of thing. We have to have that 10% or whatever, that top level, who are really going to lead. And we're just in a different – the world is much different. The communication, the relationship people have with each other, the technology, how it's interfered with our ability to communicate, we're being spied on, the Patriot Act, how much the Patriot Act has caused all these problems. It's a variety of things. And trying to go back and undo the negative programming that has happened to the younger generation,
yeah,
and even some older people who just seem to totally – They're going to vote for a Democrat no matter what the Democrat is. How could any rational person vote for Biden? Biden says he's a Catholic. Is he really a Christian? Do you really think Biden is a Christian? And look what he's done.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He wants to claim it that way.
Yeah.
Monday they're celebrating Memorial Day, but they're not telling you Sunday is Pentecostal, which is the formulation of the apostleship. So we need to get back into the fact that we need to celebrate the day of finding of the leadership of the nations were the apostles, and we need to get back into that. Now, the Memorial Day, and of course, I'm a retired military and served in Vietnam, and the celebration of those who sacrificed their life for our country is now being misled. They're now putting individuals into our military service that are not capable of protecting our country. And if you go to calltoduty.org, and I bring it up again, that we wrote that we need to bring back the draft, and people don't fully agree with that, that the military in 2000 stopped getting pay for education because they went to a different direction, that all service members should not have to pay for education. It should be an automatic adjustment. There's so many things in the United States of America in the last 20-plus years that we have went in a total disarray, and we have to change our thoughts. We need leaders in this country to go back to what Sally and Joe and everybody is talking about. First, we believe in God. Second, we believe in the Constitution. We put them both together, and we'll lead our nations, and we won't default. But to lead our nations, we need to follow God's rules, and no one's following God's rules anymore. They're following their own projections, their own thoughts, and their own directions. So in prayer tonight, now, you know, I don't come on to the shows that much, and Sally knows, because I'm writing new books. I'm traveling. I'm doing a lot of things. To be argumentative about, does God exist? Absolutely, God exists. And if you don't believe, don't argue God doesn't exist. Always say, number one, God is within me. He is leading me. And whatever I say and I do is his instructions. I don't do what I want. I only do what God wants. And when Paul went and did what God went, when Paul ended up in a prison, when Paul conquered the Bibles and wrote it, when Paul suffered all the consequences that he went through, and yet he was a lawyer, and he was killing and destroying, and one day he went blind, and he became the leader of all of our nations through the writing of the Bible, of the New Testament. And many people don't understand that. They want to follow the five books, which should be the six books, to to include the book of Revelations, which should not be part of the New Testament, but should be the middle ground of the five, we need to get back into the fact that biblically we are placed on this earth to follow God's instructions, because God will remove us if we don't follow his instructions. That's that simple.
Amen. It's too bad Joe wasn't here. Joe from Montana wasn't here to listen. I guess did he ever join or whatever? Did we ever hear from him?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything from him. I've texted him, you know, several times to, you know, call in. And then, by the way, speaking of calling in, we have 4.5 minutes or so left of the live broadcast. So if you're out there listening and you haven't called in yet, feel free to do so now, and that way we can go into the bonus hour. The bonus hour is part of the show's recording, but you have to call in while it's still live here in the next 4 minutes to do so. 646-478-5284. And then when you want to signal that you want to be brought on, press 1 on your keypad. That raises your hand on the switchboard, lets me know that you'd like me to bring you on to join the discussion. And yeah, I don't know where Joe's at. I was hoping that he would make it to his own show tonight. But maybe he's having some
God made a decision to keep Joe off the show so I and the other gentleman could have a discussion, and Joe will listen to the show, and we will give Joe a new education. And I'm closing the door with God bless you all, and I appreciate your time and opportunity. Calltoduty.org is the where to go. And please, listener, if you send me an email of cfabamerica@gmail.com, I'd love to send you my two books. I'm not saying that they will overdo it. Yeah, calltoduty.org. And then
you can feel free to stay on longer if you like to. You know, nobody's kicking you off, but I understand if you need to go. But, you know, you're welcome to stay on going into overtime. You're certainly welcome to.
I appreciate that. The big thing is what's the name of the listener that we're talking with?
Oh, me? Joseph Gibson.
Okay, Joe. So there's two different Joes.
Yeah.
Joe from Montana.
Okay, that's what confused me. All right. So what you do, Joe, is email me your address, and normally the books would cost you $50 if you buy them from me, but I'll ship them to you free. You order them, you'll pay $80 for both books, and you'll see if you go down to the website, Systematic Theology is the second article of my teaching. President Trump the bylaws and asked him to run for president with me, and he would be the president and I would be the vice president. President Trump and his wife have acknowledged my book. They have written me letters that they are reading it and that they really appreciate the fact that I'm teaching them. So we have put together the bylaws for Trump to rethink about not running as a Republican or a Democrat. We sent him the two books that I'm offering you, Joe, and that's under cfabamerica@gmail.com. And I really appreciate the time. Unfortunately, my schedule is different than a lot of others because I'm dealing in countries that the times are 12-hour difference. So we do a lot of things at night that give us different opportunities. We're in Cambodia, Thailand, Colombia, Africa, India. It's so funny. My grandfather and grandmother came from Syria, and we're working with Syrian today more than we're working with anyone. It's an unknown factor.
What's your email address again?
It's CFAB America.
CFAB.
So it's CFAB, Citizens for a Better America. CFAB America. @gmail.com.
All right, got it.
And, you know, we have sent it to Hillsdale University, the University out of Texas, which is the Black Township University. We sent it to five theological universities who have recognized the book as being dissertations and have accepted my books for dissertations for my PhD. Whenever I use the word we, it's me and God, by the way. Don't get confused. I have this habit of calling God and me working together. So But it's an interesting background that we can start from my standpoint where I was. I do prison ministries. I've done 99% of all prisoners return to prison. When I was doing prison ministry, the 98% wrote me letters that they're not going back and they're now been released. Pastor and Dr. Calamar, who's on Facebook under Calamar, C-O-L-L-Y-M-O-R-E, is doing teaching in many countries, and he's writing new books. In fact, I went to Trinidad, and he told me he wasn't going back, and I said he was, and my wife came from Venezuela, and we got married in Trinidad. Calamar then said, I'm going to stay in Trinidad, and I said, no, you're coming back, and now he's doing prison ministry with the state of Florida in Port St. Lucie. So be careful what you say, because we'll make a comment. Joe, I have this thought, and it's so funny, that God says that in the next 14 days you're going to see something drastically happening around you. You're going to be impressed about the difference of what's going on, and you're going to be announcing to many people that there's a new beginning coming totally different than you saw, and God just told me to send you a message. That he'll open a door to you that you may not be aware of, and that under that open door, you're going to see your new direction. So God bless you for your time.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. God bless you, too. And actually, I did kind of feel like a little connection there myself, actually, in a way, because and actually my pastor friends, one of my best friends does a prison ministry from Connecticut, Dr. Peter Ventura. He's called in to all these shows a couple of times also. So and he's been saying the same thing about me guiding my life a certain direction. So we'll see.
Speaking of call-ins,
I do have a 234 number raising their hand here in the switchboard. I'm not sure if this I'm not familiar with this person, but maybe this person has a question for Dr. Fulbert before he leaves. So I'm going to go ahead and bring this person on. 234, you're on.
Joseph,
you know the person?
Requested me to come listen to you gentlemen and ladies.
Yes, yes, I know that number.
My name's Tate from Akron, Ohio.
Hi, and what's your name, if you don't mind my asking, so I know who we're talking to?
It's easier to understand if I call it Octavius, but it's Tave, T-A-V-E.
T-A-V-E. Hi, Tave. Welcome on. I'm doing. Did you have any comments or questions for Dr. Tolbert before he has to take off? I just wanted to give you that opportunity real quick before we.
No, that's okay. I just heard him mentioning a few things about Donald Trump, but I would like to question if there was anything. Is what do you think about Donald Trump and his belief in Judaism and his so-called conversion to that with Ivanka?
Can you repeat the comment?
Yeah, the Trump that he's actually converted to Judaism and has made it clear that that's his belief now, that he's going to go that way as well as most of his family, his daughters, and I mean everybody except Barron. And he's too young to make that decision at this point.
Yeah, my only comment is that he has a copy of both of my books. He's reading both my books. I have 40 letters from him and his family concerning the Christian viewpoint and the Constitution, and that he's never used that point of view with me.
I would hope to think that if he was going to be everything that everybody wants him to be, that the only reason he would even remotely go that direction, because we all know what Judaism is, and would be to, he has to lie in bed with the enemy to get that close to him to defeat them. That's the only way I can see that. I hope that that happens.
Yeah, and my comment is very bluntly, I'm no party affiliated. I'm only bringing Donald Trump's name in, that he runs in a third political party, that he doesn't run as a Republican or Democrat. I believe that the entire Republicans and Democrats are non-God-founded structure in the United States of America. and that we need to get back into the fact that the Constitution does not rely upon, nor does it call upon, a two political party, and there's arguments, as there is arguments on the Electoral College versus electors and the violation of our states following the Constitution, the violation of who's being elected and been put in position. So in prayer is where we need to stand, and I pray for Donald Trump. I don't agree with our governors. I don't agree with the violation of where we're at and what we're doing. We had a conversation. DeSantis is running for president, yet DeSantis is a governor of Florida, and the state of Florida's constitution says you cannot run for the president and remain the governor. So what did he do? He put a bill into the state House of Representatives and Congress and says remove the fact that I'm not eligible, and I'll be eligible, and I can be both the governor and run for the president of the United States. Well, how are you going to take a year and be
change the
a
rules
governor?
Just for himself?
It's totally illegal, unconstitutional, and he needs to be removed from the state of Florida as governor, not because he's good or bad, because he violates the Constitution. So any individual that violates the Constitution.
I'm
going to
go ahead and bring on, also I have Daniel or Kathy, not sure which one it is, but I recognize the number. I'm going to bring them on as well here.
What's going on,
Lorianne?
Great show.
Hey,
great
Daniel.
Show. Wonderful show. I'm loving it.
And
I'm happy to see you come in on the switchboard.
Okay.
You guys, DeSantis is simply there as a divider. I believe that 100%, like the gentleman was just saying. He is there to do anything but to let Donald Trump get into position to be, and I believe he should run as a third-party member as well, and completely, I've told Joseph Gibson from day one, there's two types of people or two parties running, and it's traitors and patriots. And Donald Trump, I believe, is a patriot. I hope he is a patriot. And like I said prior, that if the Judaism and the thing that's going that route is to, you have to know your enemies. You have to be very, very close with them. And I just hope that that's what this all comes about to be. And pray for him. That's all you can do is pray. Pray for this country, because
right.
I call it the circling the drain disease, because we're all starting a downward spiral, it seems.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we can show that letters that you present, Donald Trump, that when we wrote the tariffs and we wrote the Bring Jobs Home to America, and he was in Canada and he was talking about he received from a retired E9 the tariff program, or when we wrote the community programs where there's the mission program where the military people can go to a private doctor rather than the VA. We get mentioned when we write books to Donald Trump. We get mentioned. We have letters from Donald Trump. It's something you don't normally get, but he does listen, and he does follow. Now, he may not use your name. He may not say who you are, but the fact remains, if you send and write to his location here in Florida, he will give you a response. He will understand. He is running in a political party because of the fact that he believes, unfortunately, that no political parties get elected. Multi-millions of dollars, $100 million of dollars to be elected to a president of the United States. No one, when I run for office, I get donations. My donations go to the community programs. I believe that anyone that gets a donation under their 501c4, their money should be given to the community to feed, to clothe, and to take care of those individuals in your state. They should not be used for publication. The publication of someone should be equal. We found that when I ran for the governor or when I ran for office, they would not let a no-party affiliated to go into a debate with Democrats and Republicans when we had 14 to 20 or 30% eligibility. They pulled us out of the equation. So our political parties are preventing reliable, knowledgeable individuals who understand the political issues, that understand the biblical power, that understand the U.S. Constitution to be inside. We're being bought out, and I'm asking every listener tonight, if you vote for a person that does not lay his hand on the true Bible, if you vote for a person that does not quote the Constitution, you've destroyed the United States of America.
Amen to that. Yeah.
Amen, 100%. And the political agenda with the media, driven by the very people that DeSantis is funded by and the Democratic Party is funded by, have a narrative to absolutely stall anyone that believes anything Christian, moral, and honest about being an American patriot in this entire, we are the enemy, period. They don't want to have it. They're going to do everything they can to push us farther and farther away.
Amen.
Yep. Absolutely. I think it's appalling that, you know, Biden and his administration are calling Christians, you know, like domestic terrorists, you know, that they're somehow that, you know, suddenly they're the enemy, you know, the very people that founded this country and the belief system of Christianity. Now, all of a sudden, if you are a believer and you are, you know, you are somebody that reads the Bible and takes that to heart, and that's what guides your actions, suddenly you're a domestic terrorist. I think that right there, you know, we kind of mentioned earlier about, you know, does anybody really think that Joe Biden is actually a Christian? It's like, well, that right there shows otherwise. When he allows, you know, his administration to consider people that are domestic terrorists. And so I think that's a pretty sad state. And, you know, so far I've really enjoyed this conversation. And I wanted to kind of go back to something Sally was talking about earlier too. You know, I think one of the things that personally turns me off about the church is exactly because we have like these mega churches. And I think that's a turnoff for a lot of people, because it's like all of this money, millions of dollars in these really elaborate, huge churches, instead of the real goal of the church was to bring the community together, to help the community, to be charitable, to, you know, help feed the poor, help clothe children that are poor, to come together in natural disasters and rebuild. And it's like the church itself has been destroyed from within, with like the monetization of it and losing sight of that. It's like that part really turns me off when it comes to the church. And I'm just wondering all your guys' thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'd like to intervene in there a moment. First place, the church is you. Every individual is the church. Every individual has God within them. They're walking into a building. They're walking into an assembly. This building is getting confused by they're using the nomenclature of a church when biblically it is not the church. Each individual is. When they started structuring these big buildings and multi-millions of dollars going to individuals that are not feeding, they need to be removed. The people that are going into them need to get back into their homes. They need to get back into their communities. They need to do what Paul did. Paul went into a house. Paul had groups of individuals. We had the days 100 years ago, 70 years ago, 200 years ago, where individuals went into their neighbors. They fed them. They clothed them. They helped them. When we got into the food stamps and we took all the food stamps and said, we're not going to allow you to go to buildings to get fed, and the ministries came together and said, well, now we'll take your money. We'll not feed you because you got food stamps and you're getting help by the federal government, so we're going to use your money. There are some administrations that are actually going into other places. We have David Dunn, who's now into Africa, the Philippines, and he's now traveling and going to into places. But he has a street ministry. He has a ministry that he collects and goes out and helps people. Our ministry is not built in a building. Our ministry is built to nations of 45 nations, thousands of people. We don't take donations. We don't agree with donations. You want to give a donation? Give it to your community. Give it to the people next door. Don't donate to a building. Now, in the Bible, it says your donation's based on 3 years, 10%. But yet people want to go in and think they have a 10% donation of their salary. That's not biblically true. Biblically true is to take your donations, feed, clothe, and shelter the people around you. If you're a true believer in God, you are a servant. And if you're going to serve, you need to help your neighbor. One person at a time. I write this constantly. It is about equality of one person. I will help one person. That is silly, but if I help one, then I help one, then I help one. But if I don't help one, there's no accomplishment. If I don't feed, clothe, and shelter one person, how am I going to feed, clothe, and shelter two? We need in our ministries, we need in our believer in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the one member. Biblically, the opening of the Bible should have started out with and did start out with God's, G-O-D-S, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And yet people want to contradict God. They want to contradict Jesus being the flesh. They want to contradict the Holy Spirit. And they want to think that they don't and are not responsibility for their neighbor. If you're a true believer in God, feed, clothe, and shelter your neighbor. Don't think your ministry is going to do it. It is your responsibility.
You are the temple. There is no building. You are the temple of God. Your body is.
Amen.
And I believe that when Revelation, where they speak of the synagogue of Satan, they're not just talking about the actual people that are going to claim to be Jewish. They're talking about, you see, every big church, like she was talking about, that has become the synagogue of Satan because they reel you in to feed you lies.
Joel Osteen, for example. Joel Osteen, what is his faith?
Me?
His faith will be what happens when God opens the door on him, Sally, and people want to contradict or go for or go against an individual. It's not our problem, not our issue. God has to be the one to call on any individual to change their belief, and all we can do is stay in prayer and thank God for doing it.
Yep, exactly. Exactly, and it just, it really is, when you think of us as a people, how divided we are today and how it all ties back to the right there. I mean, this, the fundamentals. Our total loss of faith, belief in God, and to do what we're supposed to do to help each other. Now we've got people out there all trying to kill each other. It's disgusting. And, I mean, I try to think, it's like, what is God thinking when he sees all this transgender and this total disgust of what's going on and what people are doing to these children? Oh, it's so awful. And I'm like, dear Lord, help me. What obviously I can object to what they're doing, but yet we're surrounded by an environment that's out there pushing more and more of this and acting like you're the one who's evil to not want to help this child who doesn't know whether he or she is a girl or a boy or whatever else. I'm like, there's something so sick about all this. It's just, for the life of me, I can't figure out how this has been allowed to get so out of control in this country to allow it. It's all so, so terrible. And I just keep praying. Like, hey, say, dear Lord, help us. And please, people, keep praying for this country. Pray for America. We need to do something to save the soul of this country.
You know, today there's a perfect example where Mr. Potato Head, Joe Biden, was talking about the Uvalde school shootings. And he blatantly, if you watch his speech, puts forth the almost, he wanted to say domestic terrorists so bad again that it was so awful that every patriot that has an AR-15, he has to push that narrative there, But then, in the next breath, he also says that what's going on today with our children is okay. So he's basically saying that the people that stand up for morality, peaceful, lawful, God-fearing people, God-loving people, that transgenderism and the indoctrination of the kids in schools is okay, but when you have a person that they make this narrative out to be that's a school shooter with this whole thing, which I don't even believe is actually all true. I believe somebody died. I don't believe it's what they're telling us, because it's a narrative to get the propaganda moving towards and away from God, where that everybody shifts and looks at the people that we're talking about, the good people, like the people that are moral, just, and have and dignity, are the bad guys. From what you're supposed to believe in. And for our president to be sit and to have the opportunity to be the person who he is and the platform he has to continue to do this is one of the biggest sins I've ever seen to have the ability to touch as many people as that man can do, and how they can do it is and that needs to stop.
In volume number 3 of Systematic Theology, I'm writing a book called Take Me Back, and it's called Atonement. And under the Book of Atonement, it's marching through the valleys as soldiers of God. We bring forth the end of the cycle of destruction, every ending the threat to mankind. We are here to testify of our being on earth. We are in atonement to and for Jesus as our Savior. We seek his word and we fulfill our destiny by shouting his name. God has given his son for us to reach the heavens. Without his being, we would have perished, and the consequences of our first sin would have been destroyed us. We seek and ask for forgiveness through his son, Jesus Christ, for man cannot stand alone, nor would he want. For this reason, God has brought forth his world and his word and has delivered us from sin. We are in harmony with the universe because we seek forgiveness of our sins. Have we not cried to heavens? Have we not feared the unknown and called upon God? Seek not the blessed one, but seek God. And here you will be, find his blessings and be healed again. Amen.
Absolutely perfect. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be part of volume 3.
Excellent.
Phenomenal. And, Joe Biden, and anybody that follows through his cabinet and believes the way he believes, he is part of a cult that has become this movement that is set out to destroy everything Christian, period. I believe him.
You see the evilness of what's happening in this border, and, I mean, there's the obvious of the illegal invasion that they don't even want to call an illegal invasion. But then you there was the thing about it was a young girl, I don't remember how old she was, but they said there was something like 60 different semen specimens in this young girl. She was dead. I mean, she had been, I guess, raped to death, basically. And the trafficking and this other evilness. And these people are doing this, and they're getting away with it. And I'm saying, dear Lord, tell me, what do I do to make this stop? I'm out there trying to be as engaged as possible. And at times, I feel like I'm defenseless to do anything to stop it. And it's destroying our whole country. And this is the frustration that I have. And this is where some people say, well, does God really exist? Why is God letting this happen? Kind of thing. And it's the collective that we have allowed this evilness to grow. The question is, how do we stop this evilness that's going on, killing these people and trafficking? It's so sick, and yet I just don't know. I mean, I obviously try to spread a much different goodwill of people and do what I can to help those around me, but I still feel like I'm not doing nearly enough to save this country, to make a change, to have an impact there. And I don't, when you have the likes of Maracas with this idiot who's running the Department of Homeland Security and these other clowns that are out there. It's evilness. It's just downright evilness. And like you feel defenseless or helpless at times to try to do anything about it.
Biden and Mayorkas are a cartel. Biden has no family business whatsoever, and he's been in politics for 50 years, and he has business, as they claim, and he makes all kinds of money and all this and that. But he has actually no business. I believe these pedophiles have been in child trafficking for way too long. Children's services are involved in it. You have direct links with Mayorkas. You have your border czar and Kamala Harris. These people have worked hand in hand with these cartels to let this infiltration of America be taken. And it's not necessarily the fentanyl that's the problem. As much as it is, they are saying now that these cartels make more money trafficking children and women and people than the drugs. Not only do 300 people a day die, that's like a plane crash per day in America for fentanyl, but the trafficking that goes on. I can't imagine being a state or a person that has a ranch or property on a border down there. I would hate to say I would run out of ammunition. That's all I would say, because I'd put a stop to it on my property, because I hear about these trees with the markings that they leave with the children's clothing so that the other traffickers know where to come through at. And anybody that's single-handedly involved with this are all to be held accountable, if not by our hand, but by God's hand. And I hope I'm here to see it.
One thing that, you know, as far as the solution goes, you know, let's quit financing all this crap. You know, what if even, you know, what would happen if, let's say, 30% of Americans that are against all this decided to change their income tax to being exempt? 30%, just everybody changes their stuff to go, I am exempt from paying taxes. You are not going to withdraw money and pay federal taxes. I'm going to stop paying for this. That would cause a huge dent in that money flow all the way across the board. You know, taking all these people in, housing them, feeding them, giving them food stamps, giving them education, giving them all these incentives. And that I think that would make a serious dent
The Federal Reserve prints the money. That the taxes don't pay for anything or any of the services that are rendered that you believe that they pay for. The Federal Reserve prints the money.
Right.
Yeah, well, our tax dollars go to pay the interest on it.
Now you're building a bridge over there in Ukraine right now with your tax dollars. That's where it's going.
You're not just building a bridge in Ukraine, but you're building military camps in Eagle Pass down there now, where we talked about this last night, Joe, where these kids that are 18 men that are 18 to 25, you know, military-aged people that are now being put into actual military-style camps in Eagle Pass. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's where our money's going. We're funding the own terrorist cells that they are bringing across to be the war that we're going to have to fight.
Stop participating in the system. That is how you get them. Don't participate in civil disobedience. Don't participate at all in any of their services or systems, systematic programs whatsoever. And they won't have anybody to relying upon them then. And then they're useless. They have no power then.
Yeah. Well, they're going to turn us into a third world country. That's what they want. And by the influxuation and the complete overrunning of our border already to what's already happened, you know, with the numbers that we already know, has made the drowning down of the people. I mean, we're looking at a situation where they're just not coming across the border. They're actually boarding planes and flying them directly into cities and unloading them now. We're not just talking about being bussed out all over. They're making deliberate flights at night. And if everything was supposed to be legal and up to par, why are they doing it at night? In the blackness of night. That's the only time crime goes on. True crime.
I'm trying to bite my tongue, Joe. You know I'm biting my tongue.
We have to turn to God. I mean, we have to turn to God and pray. That's one thing for sure. Because if we all prayed to God and turned and repented and stopped doing what we're doing, then I assure you there would be a spiritual awakening and God would heal our land. You know, it has to be a mass, movement of prayer and rejection of this beast system that they have and that we're participating in every day.
And, Joe, I hate to say it, and I know a lot of people hate to hear me say it, but these people that have the movement that we were talking about, these radical Islamic, these radical Judaism people that believe in this, these people haven't had a homeland since inception of time. We provided them their, and they claim to be the chosen people of God, okay? These people that the Bible says from the synagogue of Satan that will claim to be Jews that are not Jewish. They are Khazarian Turkish Mongols that have wandered around and been mercenaries for kingdom after kingdom after they were paid to fight. They're the most evil black cultist, pedophile-believing, black magic practicing to this day. People don't understand how serious this has been going on. This isn't something that was drawn up yesterday or 50 years ago. This has been going on since, let's call it 500 BC. I mean, we're talking about a plot to take over because they are so angry at the fact that they are from the seed of Cain, who killed Abel, of the devil. They are mad at God. They hate Christians, and we are the goyim. We are nothing more than cattle to these people, and they have infiltrated every aspect of our government, our law, and our politics. They own the media, and it is the
tactical. But you don't understand, but we can't isolate people and attack people and go extinguishing races of people. That's not going to get us anywhere.
You have to call out the problem or you never address it, and you could drive around it all you want.
Yeah, but the devil will just use a different group of people. That's all. It's not just the people. It's not just the race
Jewish.
Of people.
I'm not saying Jewish people. I am saying just like they say the radical Islamists, the radical Talmudists, the people that believe in the Talmud, if people would take and look and exactly – Google it. Listen to what the Talmud tells us.
Okay, we make everybody aware about it, but what do we do about it then? What are we going to do, attack them? I mean, don't participate.
Every single country, that they've ever been involved in, they've been removed, they've been booted out of, and I'm talking over 147 countries in this world over 1,000 times. And they weasel their way back in. They have no homeland. They are here to do one thing, to let this infiltration, to be behind this mass migration of people so that they can blend in where they have somewhere to fit in.
But who's motivating them to do it? It's the evil behind them. It's the evil.
That's their belief. As you and I believe in God and how we think things are right,
then
they believe the same thing. But they believe that the Elohim in Hebrew, that is plural for gods. They are God's chosen people, but they are chosen by a different God, Lucifer. Lucifer is their God. People have to understand that. That's the worst thing.
But if you're missing my point. If we don't acknowledge, all we have to do is worry about ourselves and worship our own God, not participate in anything they do.
No, that's what happens all the time with these people. Because finally, what happens is after you just think you can push it away, you can ignore them, believe in what they do. The worst thing to children. They have always done it. They have no intention good for anything Christian. They are out to kill you. They want you dead. They want you all. Read the Talmud.
But they can't.
The Noahide Law.
Can't kill us.
So
they
when you accept
kill
it, when you accept them
Exactly. When you accept it. Exactly. So don't accept it. Reject sin.
Well,
reject sin. That's all you have to do.
Have, the people in power have accepted, and that's the problem. The people that are above all of us that have that elected position where they actually fall under the pretense where these people have been in power so long, they crush you. Look what they did to Donald Trump. They had him removed from office. Look what happened to the voting. This isn't done by Democrats and Republicans. This
is
done by...
whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? We, the people, should have been monitoring the polls. We should have never allowed the corruption... Hang on. We should have never allowed the corruption to be as part of... come that much into play. It's our own fault.
The elected people that we put in power, for some reason or another...
Exactly.
They can't stand. They don't have that rock to stand on where they can say, I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to accept this. They all cater. They end up falling and they crumble to it. And they, in order, once the thing is, once you get the power of an elected official like that and you move up the ranks a little bit, you don't want to go do anything else. You want that power because you have that sensation. So then they know they've got their hooks in you. So what they do is they blackmail you. Everybody, I think, in our government is blackmailed at some point or another because if you look at the, like, even Trump, who's to say that he, hey, you're going to step down, you're going to shut your mouth, you're going to go over here and do your thing.
That's theory. You know, you don't know what's been said to him.
You don't know
what's been said to him privately. You're not there, so you know you can't. That's theory of insinuating that Trump's been bought and paid off. We don't know. You just heard that man say he corresponds with Donald Trump.
I'm not talking about bought and paid off. I'm talking about blackmail. Whereas if you don't do this, you're gonna die.
That's theory though. We don't know that's happened for sure.
Is it theory?
We don't know.
Is it theory? John F. Kennedy wasn't a theory. Martin Luther King wasn't a theory. Saddam Hussein? These are the same people that have tried to, and they're at the top of the game. They've challenged these people, and they're all dead.
But, well, look, they can't do anything to us if we reject their system. If we have to turn over, hey, we can't participate in evil. We have to repent.
I'm not, and I'll die. You know I'll die for what I believe in, but are there enough of us to do that? Are there enough of us in America to take the stand?
Only God knows.
That's where we're at. You know what? And if God doesn't tell me, I've already let God know, hey, christen and bless my bullets, for thou I shalt send those to the evil that cometh my way to do me harm, my family, and I shall see you on the other side. Believe it. One way or another. I'm not going down without a fight. I believe there's a lot of people out there that are the same way. I don't want violence. I want them gone. If they want to do this thing, do it somewhere else. Go to another country. Go to your Ukraine where they're leveling it to rebuild the new Jerusalem. That's what that's going on over there. That's exactly what's happening. These same people are going to be in control.
Again, this is not a solution. You know, we know the problems.
No,
we know what's going on. We know.
We don't have a solution because we haven't named the problem. We haven't made it clear what the problem is. Everybody wants to drive around it because it's anti-Semitic. That's the problem. People are scared to say, call it out what it is.
If we do that, and then where are we going to go from there? What are we going to do? Start attacking all the Jews? Round up all the Jews?
Just like history repeats itself. They want to eliminate history. You know why? Because it repeats itself.
So what do we do?
We have to run them out of the country. They have to be banished from this country.
Run them out of the country. Then what happens? What, you think they're all the evil gone now?
They're not
so
our problem.
There's no evil in America no more.
They're not our problem. American is America, a Christian. We don't need Islamic. We don't need Hindu. We don't need Islam. We don't need any of that.
And that's going to fix America. That's going to fix America, making everybody just
that's
be crazy.
That's the only way to fix America. There's no other way to fix America. There's no other way. You have to hit the – you want to be a hammer, and the problem's the nail. You got to hit the nail on the head. You got to. You can't pound pigtails when you're trying to drive a horse.
If that's the case, then you can go buy a 200-acre farm and put a fence, 10-foot high fence around it. Live there with your family. You don't have to worry about anybody bothering you. And then you're safe.
Tell that to David Koresh. Tell that to the people of Waco. Tell the people that it's the Bundys. That's been tried. There's segregation all around this country like that. There's areas that people have that it doesn't work out because there's not enough people. Like I said last night.
The Amish people are doing pretty good.
That's it. The military has got to step in and say, listen, you people are not abiding by the Constitution, and it doesn't make it who they are. The president, on down the line. Anybody who doesn't want to believe that these people are the problem,
they have to be called out. It's not rational solutions, what you're talking about. It's not going to happen that way.
Nope.
It's just not.
Look at history. History has shown you that's the only way these people are removed from countries, and it stops. Why do you think the Bolshevik Revolution happened?
When has that ever worked? When have people been removed from a country and then it's been peaceful? When has that worked?
Any time that this synagogue of Satan, these Kabbalists, have been removed, their country becomes peaceful because they don't suffer 100 million deaths like they did in between World War I and World War II, the whole Molodor. Yeah. These people that committed that. When those people were removed, that's God wanted them dead to begin with. Babylon was the beginning of this. God wanted them dead. God wanted them all wiped off the earth. That's what the flood was for, to eliminate these people.
I don't know about that.
It is a fact.
I don't know about that. I don't think God wanted to eliminate the Jews. I don't think that's what his plan was.
I didn't say the Jews. Now, see, you're putting words in my mouth. I did not say
the Jews. Who are you talking about then? Who are you talking about?
I am talking about the people in the book of Revelation that claim to be Jews. I just told you they are from Khazaria. They are not Jewish. They're not even Jewish.
How are we
going
to determine who's who? We're going to go knock door to door, knocking on doors, and been dragging people out of their homes and throwing them on a boat?
Remember in the 10 plagues what they did when God said a Passover, what they did?
Oh, Lord.
You know what they had to do?
Work, man. But Moses isn't here right now, and neither.
I'm talking about Passover of God, because when they painted the blood of the lamb over their doors, do you know what?
I hate to say this, but I know.
To let people know, right? You know,
Dave, I understand, but let's get back to plan. Let's get back to 2023 here.
2023 is a repeat of 223. These people have got to go. When we continue to not call them out and say who they are for who they are, that's it. You don't go to church and repent.
But what you're doing, hang on, time out. Even if you know who they are, if you make a statement like that on the 6 o'clock news and tell everybody to start rounding people up, you can't do that. That's not
going to work. I know you can't. That's what happened. That's why when these people had to be removed from countries, it got to the point to where we're at. If you look back in history, they committed atrocities far worse than we're seeing right now. Far worse. We're talking about when they come, like these people have an idea for you. They're going to take the fathers of families and make them watch their mothers and their daughters be raped. And just like in... Oh, boy.
But I walk out my front door. Who are these people? Who am I going after?
Well,
you know, you said the ones that claim to be Jews are not. So what am I going to do, knock on everybody's door?
90% of them are going to be your politicians that have no
– oh, my Lord.
Will not believe and put – like the gentleman said, if they don't put their hand on the Bible and say that they believe in Christ, because they are the ones that spat and – killed Christ. They crucified him. When they don't put their hand on that Bible, they are the ones.
Satan will put his hand on the Bible and deceive anybody. You know,
That's true too. But then when it comes to our Constitution and our morals and our beliefs, when they don't do what they say,
that's what the Bible
says. Anybody that has indoctrination of these children are the ones. Hollywood. all of it. These people that have this evil agenda, it's so big, Joe, you can't even believe it. You can't even begin to believe the mass and the complete it's insanity to think that just because of the propaganda from media, because so many people watch the normal local news and they hear the same
thing. You've got to be careful what you're saying, though,
because
it stirs up people and mixed emotions, and people are not understanding what you're saying. I mean, when you make statements
like
that.
What I'm trying to say is that the indoctrination where you see this transgender and it's okay to a little boy to be, say he's a little girl, or they tell parents they have no say in what their children can do, but yet at 16 years old you're supposed to be, that's what it was, 16 years old.
We're back to naming the problems again. We know all this.
That's the thing. We have to focus on the people that won't stand by the things that stand by in our Constitution. The ones that don't believe it and the ones that vote and say it's okay to do this stuff, there's your enemy. There's your enemy right in front of you.
Yeah, we know that. We know we realize that. But again, what's the solution that's going to be the? Well, you can't go around just rounding people up. It doesn't. It's not. That's not going to solve our evil problem.
There's
you know?
A show. Mike from the RighteousArmy.org says it all the time. Europa, the last battle. If you have not watched that documentary, then you have no clue what's going on in this world. You watch that documentary and you get a concept of what's going on and what has to happen with these people that I'm talking about. You will see then what has to happen. I can say it's on blue in the face.
What is the name of that documentary, real quick?
It's Europa, the Last Battle. It's a 12-part, 12-hour documentary. It is absolutely...
Go to RighteousArmy.org. It's there right on the front page.
Yeah. And it's like I like to tell people, there's a flip side to the coin for a story. You know, the victors of war, no matter even if they're right or wrong, the victors of war write history. Everything that you hear about Germany, everything that you hear about Iraq, the victors write that narrative. You don't hear the flip side of that coin. Europa, the last battle. It's the biggest eye-opening thing.
Time out for a second. All I'm saying is everybody's got to take a deep breath. We can't be, you know, we got to be careful when you start talking about solutions. We got to be careful. Hang on. Everybody's yelling at each other, and it's never going to work that. We have to, you know, think about what we're saying.
You got to look at it like you have to look at history. That's why these people want to erase history. They don't want you to know what's gone on so that you can single them out. Because if you rewind and look back at the things where this whole mess starts, it's the thing that when they said, Jesus, it's bad on him, they turned their back on him. This group of people has continued on. And
I got a question. It's kind of a two-parter. Well, first off, are we going to survive long enough to have a 2024 election? I'm trying to be optimistic that we will have a 2024 election. However, if the 2024 election is as corrupt as what the last one, the 2020 and 2022 have been, it really isn't going to matter. It's only going to make the conditions get worse. It's only going to allow more of the corruption, allow more of the demons, whatever you want to call them, the evildoers. They're going to be the enemies from within. Take over more and more of this country.
That.
So what are we going to do to protect? The Battle of Athens is what happened in the past, but I don't know that we have an option to do the Battle of Athens. But we have to come up with another way to protect that ballot box and take back that vote so that we have an honest election. With an honest election, I think we have a chance.
I'm going to say this and go out on a deep limb. I believe that the 2024 election will happen, but it doesn't make any difference who you vote for, because – the people right now, that if you look at the Durham report, if these people that have been found guilty of the corruption that they've already pointed out now, you're talking about a lot of people that are in power, they are not going to let a Republican come into office like Donald Trump or, let's say, a third party member come into power and have that. The House, the Senate, and the Attorney General, let's say that also, and these people can be held accountable and charged for what's happened,
under the through the Berm report, it's not going to happen. You'll have another JFK.
Well,
and
that's my concern. If we have no way to protect that ballot box, have an honest election, and get the enemies from within out of office as they are today, with so many of them in there, then it's a uniparty. So they're on both sides of it.
Well,
they can't go by party.
Let me answer the question now. To answer your question, again, we saw a prime example of it here tonight. We have a host that was supposed to be here. We all care about our country, our republic. Where is everybody? Where is everybody? Like on my podcast show, dozens of people. I used to have 2-3 years ago, I used to have my phone lines were so clogged up, I couldn't even take all the calls. Now, I mean, I'm bouncing around maybe 10, 15 live callers now. It's 20 callers, 25, you know. It seems like the Patriot community is dwindling away, you know. So where are we? Why isn't everybody talking about this? Why aren't we coming together with solutions? You can't get 10 people to meet for coffee at McDonald's, you know. So we're going to fix everything. We're in trouble. You know, we have to inspire and rile people up to where they have something to believe in again. And that's where God comes in, and that's where spirituality comes in, and that's where we have to bring hope to the people, and we have to bring a positive message. And we have to be careful how we bring it, because we can't shoot ourselves in the foot. So that's why, you know, I think that's the only way.
We know that a lot of things have to change voting-wise, because if all the states don't go to a paper ballot, it's fixed. You can't, if they don't go to the actual old way of doing things,
body
the right
cam.
Way, you know,
body
that's...
Cam. Every elector has to have a body cam.
Something. Even then, those could be hacked, Joe, but I'm just saying, you know, like a written ballot, just like the old times. You know, you saw a government that switched around again in Venezuela that switched and made some changes. But the thing is, these voting machines, that's a worse thing.
Well, not everybody does electronic voting in the country, so...
Well, but it has to... We all have to be on the same page doing it the same way. That's the only way you're going to have accountability, because you can't have 10 states doing it one way and 15 other states doing it another way, and it gets to be too much of a mess. Why can't it just be one and be one day? Why has it got to be 3 weeks to figure out who the hell's the president? Why does it take that long? I mean, they can't count on their fingers and toes that many times? My God.
Well, there's a lot of. I don't think they can calculate, or all the people can get to the polls in one day. I'm not sure if in a general election there's too many.
Let's call it 2 days, but not a month, or this whole thing can be mixed up like.
All they would need to do is take the same resources that they go and spread across 4 weeks with having polls, all these different early voting poll stations, and everything else. They would have enough. They would have to have more precincts on voting day.
Yeah, well, you have.
That's what they would need.
Traveling.
It can be done. If France can do it, we can do it. That's, you know, it's pretty bad. If France can
we don't forget we have military bases across the world. You know, we've got a lot of military personnel that have to vote. Also, we got people that travel abroad, work abroad. So, you know,
you can have allowances for that, but not the insanity of what we have today. Which, of course, COVID was all part of it. COVID was all a way to take control of people, to show how weak the American people have become, because they bowed down as soon as they were told to. And then they also it gave them all these paper ballots and all this other garbage that they're going to try to continue on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the other corruption was already there. I've said it in the past. Hillary Clinton, she was all mad because she thought for sure she was going to win 2016 because they had rigged the machine. That's why she jumped up and down and kept screaming, wait a minute, I had to win. We rigged the system. But she didn't rig it enough. They didn't mess up enough to go into it. So then they had to do the COVID thing.
I believe Donald Trump and the military stepped in right there. You actually had your beginning of a rigged election came from that one right there, because they knew that it was already fixed and Hillary was going to do it, but they stepped in and did it just a little bit better.
I don't know about that. I think maybe they didn't rig it enough. I don't think they rigged it enough. I think that's right what you're saying.
There were too many people that still disliked Trump back then, but here's the thing.
But if you were watching, I know somebody that has the actual screenshots. I don't have it, but it was a CNN or Fox News, whoever it was. They had those crazy counters going up there. And all of a sudden, now, it's one thing to stop getting more votes. If you have a million votes and then you all of a sudden just get a few here and there, But there's something seriously wrong when you have a million votes 1 minute and you have a half a million the next minute. And you're not supposed to lose votes. And that's what happened online live that night. That's what happened.
A data dump. Yeah. A complete data dump. I mean, they
if
were
we only had a media. Remember, the media is the virus. The media, and that's part of what Jefferson said, you know, if you have an honest media, a free press, and the people can read, you will be safe. Well, we don't have an honest press. We don't have a free media. And most people can't seem to read anymore.
Yeah, I watched the
so I don't think we're very safe.
Yeah, I watched the election that night, and the hoodwink job was so blatant, right? I was like, what? You blinked your eye, and I was like, what just happened? You know, I was like, holy crap, they did it right in front of us, you know? It was crazy.
And they still got what's-her-name, Carrie Lake or whoever, is still going over this garbage. I mean, you're talking about stuff that these guys – when it comes to a computer, you look at Snowden, look at Assange, all the stuff like WikiLeaks and all the dumps, all the information that can just get one or two people can cause all the turmoil they've caused. Well, imagine a whole room full of people that have done nothing but plot and plan this stuff. It's mind-blowing.
Well, I take your doctor friend's off the air, right? Your doctor friend, he hung up.
Yeah, he dropped a while ago. Yeah, he dropped probably about 45 minutes ago or so.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised Joe didn't call in. I mean, I'm surprised. I hope he's okay. I hope nothing bad happened. But I noticed Sarge isn't here either. So,
did you hear back from Mike after last night?
No, I didn't hear back from him either.
His car's broke down again.
Yeah, I know. So it could be, you know, I know that, but I'm just saying Sarge and Joe, though, that's a little bit odd. And Pianchi,
Mike in the RighteousArmy.org, that movement that I, you know, the pandemic and all that fake demic, the pandemic, that crap started, that was a test like the one lady just said. And the people had to sit at home, and they got to glue their eyeballs to their phones and their TVs and hear the same propaganda bullshit. And I'm going to hate to say that, excuse my French, but they got to hear that every day, on the hour, every hour, same thing over and over. And it's a brainwashing. It's a mind game that they won. And
it was an ultimate test to see. Are the American people ready to be totally brainwashed, totally taken over? Have we been totally converted to a bunch of sheeple? And after what we've seen with not only what happened with the lockdowns and the everything else that was going on, these people taking these vaccines, which have killed off so many people, the evilness is all around. The evilness is right here, and we've stood there watching it.
I think we may have come across something I heard yesterday morning. I meant to bring up to Joe last night. The military was forced to take vaccinations, or they were forced to resign.
Yeah.
Now, HIV has been identified 100%, and the same people that brought everything forward now are saying that these people have been injected with spike proteins from two different, I forget the numbers, how they do it, but the one is definitely HIV AIDS involved. Dr. Fauci actually makes money off of this grouping of spike protein, and the United States government owns the patent on it.
That's
and they injected everybody in the military that took it. Now, if you're not pissed off in the military and knew that your government, these people, injected you with that, well, I resign.
It's destruction from within. The enemy's from within, taking down the country, and here we are, basically defenseless. Literally defenseless. We're how many people went along with it? And when it came to the military, the true patriots, the true military who were going to defend us, left. They didn't stay. So look what they have done to destroy the military. And do you think this military is going to defend us? That's what I sent out. And I don't know if, Joe, if you got the email when I sent it out. But I was saying, when do we defend ourselves against an invasion? When do the American people defend us? When does our military defend us? We can go defend the borders of the world, but we can't defend our own homeland. There's something sick here when we can't defend ourselves. And that's where we're at. And I know we're about running out of time. I think we're going to be off the air here in a couple of minutes, I think.
Yeah,
and
I think Liberty.
Well, hopefully the show doesn't hang up on us like it did last week. Normally, like on my show, it'll continue on, and then, you know, Sunday night, Blog Talk finally decided to hang up on me. I think it was like 12:30 at night or something, or 12:30 in the morning.
If I set up for two, I only get 1 hour grace, if you will. So if I set it up for a two-hour show, then I have 3 hours. If I set it up for a one-hour show, it's only going to be 2 hours. So if it's only set up for 1 hour, I have a feeling it'll be over in a few minutes.
I set mine up for 120 minutes. That's what I do. And then, well, at the two-hour mark, it goes into overtime.
Correct. But I don't think they did that. I think they set it up for a 60-minute show, not for 2 hours.
Yeah. So you'll be cut off here.
Usually sets the show up for 60 minutes and then the bonus hour. And I guess we'll find out in a minute or so if Blog Talk hangs up on all of us or lets us continue. I'm more than happy to stick
discussion.
Around and continue. This
other.
Is a good conversation. but last week it just ended everybody. And and now it just... Are you guys still there? Because the switchboard just shut down.
Did it.
Yep. It's only a matter of minutes.
It's only a matter of seconds. Yep, that's it.
Well, thank you guys very much for having me on and listening to my rant. But like I told Joe, I think the military is our only way to save us. And I hope there's still a few good United States Marines left that can step up and take it, because I'd be right side by side with them. And if not, then I guess Paul Revere has to ride again and give me my horse, damn it.
Well, you're free to stick around. We can all stick around until Blog Talk decides to hang up on us. Good with it. I guess we can experiment.
Yeah.
I think they cut me and Joe off. It was 2 weeks ago we were talking, and it just went bonk.
Yeah. It'll do it sometimes 2 hours and 20 minutes. Sometimes 2 hours and 30 minutes, but.
Well, how about this? What have we talked about tonight? Did you guys mention the 30 tons of ammonium nitrate that ended up disappearing, and why in God's name that these senators, all 100 of them, got satellite phones?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, it's pretty suspicious timing with that, for sure.
I mean, what are we you want to talk about what is it down here in Ohio where I'm at, where they had the train derailment? It looks like they're planning a little something bigger.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not one to believe.
I know. Like,
that's
a pretty, like,
chemicals all
not your
off.
Average person could pull off stealing 60,000 pounds of ammonia off of a train. This would be a coordinated effort.
It seems awful funny and peculiar that you got all these middle-aged military aged men storming across the border, and then all of a sudden all this stuff goes missing. Hey.
Now, I have no doubt that there was some kind of intentional leak someplace along the way.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
I don't believe in those kind of coincidences. What can I say? I don't believe in those kind of coincidences. And
it all supports the total
attack on this country.
I got
listeners now in Saudi Arabia. My show is now in Saudi Arabia.
Well, there you go. You're asking for some oil. We were tired of these gas prices.
I'm looking at the map of my listens. That's why I check out the countries, what countries I'm in now,
My Lucid Libertarian show, I'm surprised, but consistently China is the number two country of listeners.
Really?
Usually like somewhere around 6 to 8%. Apparently... people in China like my show. I don't know. It's really weird. I was like, why are people from China, listening to Lucid Libertarian? I don't get it.
Joe, can you see something right now for a number and find out how much Timothy McVeigh had in ammonium nitrate in that truck that blew up at the Oklahoma City building?
Oh, God.
And look what that devastation did in just one simple truck. And it wasn't 60 tons or 60,000 pounds.
Well, we don't want to. Yeah, so what are you saying now? That somebody stole that from where?
Yes, it's gone. They have no account of it. It's gone. It just didn't fall off the train. The train rail, the car didn't just get up and fly away.
You have to look at those tanks. If you look at the train cars that use it, they're trying to say that it was leaking, like out of the bottom of the things, the way they fill them and drain them to begin with. That was a suggestion that it was leaked out of the trains, out of the cabs.
If that was the case, he'd have a crater the size of the moon right there. Jeez, I wheeze.
Was it an accident? I don't think so.
Hell, yeah.
Every migrant gets a lunchbox full of ammonium nitrate now just to take with you to do whatever you want, probably. Here's your lunchbox and your cell phone. Now you can use your free app and just call the senator before you blow something up. My God. It just, I can't. My grandma used to say, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. And I'd always look at her and say, what's that mean? She goes, you don't want to be sitting in it, kid, because if it's wood, it's on fire. Your butt's going to get warm. Well, I can feel the heat. I can feel the heat. It's just sickening to me. You know, I can say it till I'm blue in the face. I wish I had 500 people like me because, Joe, I would say, hey, call Mike because the general's coming. I'm going to start pulling people out of office by their hair. They're going to be held accountable. They can resign or they're coming out by their hair. That's all there is to it. Period. Done.
Yeah.
I think they cut us off.
Did they?
No, I'm still here. I still hear you.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Well, the bottom line is this, is like I said, is everyone has to network together. Everybody's got to stick together. You know, we all got to, keep pushing the word, bring new people to the platform, bring new people to the conversation, to the table. And if you're in that person's area, you know, try to mobilize. You know, right now, even if we just started out with 5 of us and then branched off to 20, 50, to 100, and that's how you grow. That's how a movement starts, you know.
So, look what happened with Mike. Look, we thought Mike had the best platform.
He dropped it. He disbanded it.
But you know what, though, Joe? I mean, I was with him from the first week on, and I tell you what, it was completely mind. Just I can't believe that there was no military guys called in, and it just wasn't. There wasn't. Can you imagine if we'd had 50 people, just one person from each state every meeting? We didn't even have that. Where was all the people that cared? You know, a lot of them listen. I mean, you guys can see. I don't know how this operation works with the blog talk, but you can see how many people are calling or whatnot, I think, or your switchboard or something. But even then, Mike even would say, where are they all at?
Yeah.
It hurts. And with my father being a Marine Corps drill instructor, it hurts me to think that I haven't seen more Marines step up that are either active and being silent, just speaking anonymously, or retired and saying, let's round them up.
I'm telling you what happened with Mike's platform is it got too intrinsic where it was tedious, where it was he was, you know, state coordinator 1, state coordinator 2, state coordinator 3, Listen, just every state, you know, look, what county you in, you know, 50 people meet here and that's it. You know, and all this other stuff, you organize and no. Like I was telling you last night, we get 300 people. Okay, I got 300 people in my county. All right, we all meet at the town hall. Now what? Now what are we doing? When we walk out the doors, what are we doing? Nobody had an answer.
If you're going to do something like that, you got to have it legally where you have exactly what you're doing. You can put in front of the people that you're accusing someone. You have to be able to show them what they're being accused of, what they're guilty of, and then you have to have someone who can arrest them. And where are you going to put them?
I'll be sending out mailing phone number lists to people who want to help me out with my campaign soon and have them and call the voters in my area. You know, don't call them up and swear at them and tell them, you know, they got, you know, people with level heads on their shoulders who know how to speak. You know, call these voters and do phone drives. That's how AOC did it. They did phone drives because I pretended to be one on her campaign, actually, when she ran for office. I wanted to see how she got elected during her reelection, and that she actually emailed me. They had a phone network all set up. They had volunteers that called the voters in her district.
What's the one thing on Saturday morning that every time I was doing something – somebody knocked on my door, and I couldn't figure out who in the hell is knocking on my door right now.
Well, when they called me, you didn't finish. You didn't let me finish. When they called people, they wouldn't take no for an answer. They continuously hounded the people, you know, and some people gave in finally. So it's interesting. That's just one way, you know. I'm just saying.
What about door knocking? What about going door to door? Because I'm
I don't like that because a lot of people don't like that nowadays. They're knocking on people's doors.
And my door.
I think handing out flyers is a good way, but knocking on doors, I just don't like that anymore. I just don't think in today's day and age people don't like it.
Joe, you got to watch that now because if you watch some of the podcasts and stuff that I know are associated with these guys, when you hand out a leaflet like that now, you could be tagged anti-Semitic because of your belief or what you stand for, and they will lock your ass up.
No, I'm not. How is it anti-Semitic? I'm vote for Joe Gibson. I see House District 65. If that's anti-Semitic, then
but I'm saying if they hear you say something on a podcast and they get you on it or they got your recorder, they say, hey, look, this guy right here said this time, boom, they got you.
They're not locking anybody up for their beliefs. That's all. That's
exactly.
A bad proportion. Hey, if you want to do something crazy.
It's happened. It's happening.
I don't think – I think people are doing is breaking the law. I mean, I don't think people are getting locked up. If you're calling up sheriffs and threatening them, yeah, you're going to go to jail, you know?
Well,
I mean,
when you hand out a pamphlet or you put something in somebody's mailbox or you put it on their doorknob, you're literally – well, listen, number one, trespassing. If they posted it, you're trespassing, number one. Number two, if it hits the ground, you're littering. And I know a few different gentlemen that tried to run. We have an all-Democratic Akron Public Council up here, City Council. I'm going to tell you what a gem it is. The sanctuary city that I live in, these bunch of bums, certified bums, I like to call them. But they had two guys locked up for that very thing. Littering because they
How
were passing
they
out.
Up for that? I don't understand.
Because it's littering. That's how these idiots
what
work.
Were they doing? What were they doing? What do you mean littering?
But yeah, but then it's perfectly okay for homeless people to, poop and pee and litter all over the streets, you know. Don't do anything
well,
about that. But you're handing out a pamphlet.
Yep.
Odd.
Hey, it should be toilet paper, but hey, as long as it's a Democratic vote, they don't care.
Is there ways of doing it without getting attention? You could do it in parking lots, put it on windshields. It's perfectly legal. You know, if you attach it to a mailbox without going on the property, it's perfectly legal. You just got to be smart about things, you know?
Hey, when I drive down the road and I see somebody stuck a food menu on my windshield wiper or my car, especially my Corvette, the first thing I want to do is pull over and rip the windshield wiper off and beat somebody's brains in with that thing for even messing with my car. Number two, I throw it right in the air. I just go, get off my car. You're littering.
Oh,
so when they pick that
picture,
up.
Anybody, can you picture him driving down the road yelling at a flyer?
Trust me. Hanging out one hand, reaching out, trying to get the windshield wipers going, trying to grab it. Mad at all hell. Don't be a part of your
voice. I can't believe somebody getting into my car.
Well, here's the thing. When you see, say there's a, you go to a concert where, say, there's like, let's say 50 of us all go to a concert. We all like the same band. And we watch that. Or we'd say we go to a church meeting, whatever it is. But somebody runs across the parking lot and does all these cars, bang, 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 bang. All those flyers that people disregard hit the ground. City officials are told, hey, pick them up. Whose name's on it? Let's confront. Let's get them. Let's stop.
Yes. Deny it. I don't know what you're talking about. Somebody must have been a fan of mine or something. I didn't do it.
That's what the one guy ended up having to do, and he had to completely say I wasn't behind the printing of these and this and that. But it's just a hassle that they'll go through. Like they said, they'll let you have to get the crap app to go through San Francisco to figure out which part of you don't have to drive through the
When I first started out with my landscaping business, okay, this is years ago though, I was putting flyers.
I can see you running a weed eater.
Listen, I was putting them in mailboxes, and the post office called me, and I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, I didn't put nothing in no mailbox. I said, it must have been one of my customers that was very happy about my services, and I said, besides, anyway, the post office don't own the mailbox, and they go, oh yes, we do. And I said, okay, well, come out and replace mine because I need a new one. And they said, well, it doesn't work like that. You know, I got to a big debate with her, and she goes, just don't do it anymore, you know, and hung up on me. So,
federally, that's a federal offense to do anything with the mailbox.
Federal offense, my ass, I told them. Federal,
you ever hit them with a baseball bat when you were young?
No, I didn't do that.
Well, we did that once or twice, and we got to sit down in front of the judge and found out exactly what that was, because we were destroying federal property. My
How
parents
destroyed my your property, and you own it.
Because the post office is a huge deal. Huge. That's just like, remember we get into the common law, the maritime law. You go, there's the other side of maritime law is the post office. Those two work hand in hand. In order for you
to get out of this country,
why do you have to go to the post office to get your passport?
I don't know. I don't get into that. That's that, 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 that.